recorded this video in 3, 2, 1. Okay, good, recording on both. Welcome back everyone to episode 41 of the Sports Arts Pod. It's a special episode. It's a college game day episode. We're recording Saturday morning, September the 6th. And yes, this is called Sports Shots based off liquor, but today, this morning, we're drinking a cup of Joe.
Now, how do you know I didn't pour a shot in this coffee, man? You know, some people be doing that shit.
Listen, I don't know. You could be half Bailey's, half coffee. I don't know. You know, I'm just going off. There's coffee in it, right? We're not saying how yes. much or how less.
Yes. I mean, shit. Remember, mimosas have tequila in it or vodka. Oh, do I? Fuck.
Champagne. I love mimosas.
Okay. Yes. Oh, my God. I love mimosas. Do you drink it with your pinky up, too?
You have to. You have to.
Isaiah, you're not the man that I thought you were.
Oh, listen, I'm the man. I just like mimosas, man. Give me some orange juice and some champagne. Hell yeah, bro. I'll be at the brunch.
Gossiping.
I don't care. You'll be like Peter
when he was with Lois's friends.
Mm-hmm. And then some restaurants now give you, you know, there's a flight of beer, obviously, right? Like four different beers. There's a flight of mimosas now.
I've seen that shit.
Orange juice, pineapple juice, grapefruit. Grapefruit's underrated. I love
grapefruit juice. Is underrated. I did not like grapefruit as a kid, but now I can eat some fucking grapefruit in the morning.
Oh, dude. Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's healthy for you, too.
My mom used to peel the grapefruit and put it in a bowl for me and put a little extra sugar, because we're Mexican, right? Put extra sugar on everything. And salt.
Mexicans.
And so I would just eat a bowl of grapefruit like that. And now there's liquor in it. Oh, even better.
Oh my God. He went from a boy to a man.
Yeah. And what I noticed, like every juice or drink I drink as a kid, they all have liquor in it now. Arizona tea, they make something hard. What's that? What they make? Nectar. Nectar juice now makes mixed drinks. The Mongol, right? Mountain Dew has hard liquor now. Has hard drinks. So
I still get the whole Minute Maids, them day drinks, them quarts that only last a day.
Yeah, and let me make sure I'm recording on the right freaking mic this time, not like last week.
Yeah, with 2 minutes in, embarrassment. Good call.
Yeah, we're good. We're good on audio.
Oh, so I don't fuck with shit, because like I know if something gets messed up, I don't feel like figuring out how to get the shit right. So I just plug in, plug out.
Yeah, but right before we hit the record button, we were talking about the college game day, the kick for charity that Pat McAfee does, the little segment they do. Now this is back to back weeks in a row where the kicks have been just drilled, and I personally think Pat McAfee and ESPN are getting sandbagged. These are planted kickers that the universities are putting, and they are drilling these things. They're good from 40.
Like the kid this morning, I was standing because I was in the middle of cooking my food, and I just stopped just for a minute just to watch that. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at the kid, just looking at the eye test. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think he's gonna make this shit. But when I saw he drilled it, I threw my hands up. Like, I was happy for him even at home. I was like, oh, my God, you fucking drilled that. ESPN is going to have to cut that. We're not going to see that after probably next week, because they're going to be like, look, man, we can't be cutting these checks like this. All right, the idea was supposed to be fun and games. It was supposed to be the thought of it. You're supposed to look for the most scrawny-looking kid in that crowd. All right? Stop getting these plant athletes that the university is thinking about having them walk on. All right?
Next week's kid's gonna be in a wheelchair or crutches.
Hey, yo, no, ESPN would do some shit like that.
I knew he was gonna drill it once he started his whole like routine.
He was kind of like leaning in and stretching. Yeah. Oh man,
it was over. Yeah, he took the three steps back and two steps to the side, leaned forward. I was like, oh, this man's drilling it. He's about to be $100,000 richer, $200,000 technically. So that's back to back weeks. And then the first week's kid, his thing was like, oh, I don't have any kicking experience, but my brother was a kicker.
There was one where I saw that this girl had, they picked the girl out, so she got some random guy in the crowd to kick for her, and he drilled it. That shit was
some random guy.
Yeah. Some random guy.
Some random guy. He ended up being the walk-on kicker. I'm telling you, next week, if it's a female or a guy that just doesn't look like he can do it, something's up. They're picking and choosing now. It's saying a raffle.
Segueing into college football. What's your, how you looking this week? You know, UT getting a cupcake opponent. You know, just kind of have them, you know, build their own ego back up after.
That's exactly what this is. This is a ego building team, game right now. We need it right now. Texas is favored by 36 points.
that's not even a worse spread. Texas Tech is favored by 48.5.
Oh my gosh!
If I was touchdowns. The other team. If I was the other team, do you even bother showing up? And you know what's crazy? They can actually cover that shit.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. 7 touchdowns is a spread, is a line. Now, and Texas what I am
easily put up 60.
Yeah, yeah, they have. I read Texas Tech actually has the most. They spent the most NIL money this year.
They had an
alumni that made a $12 million donation to the program. I think they spent $25 million on NIL. Yeah.
That's all money out of Lubbock.
Yeah. I think he also played for them too. But anyway, going back to Texas, the thing I am disappointed about, they dropped to 7. It's still top 12, you know, top 12 make playoffs, I think. I can't remember how the new format is. But we lost by a touchdown to the third ranked team. Does that deserve to drop all the way down to 7?
No, you know, I'm actually shocked by that.
I thought at worst we would be out of the top 4, right? Be 5. Or at best, Ohio State and Texas just switch. They just flip 1-1-3. But when you lose by a touchdown to the reigning champions, who is also the third ranked team in the country, how do you drop 6? You know? What other team between 2 and 6 had a dominating performance against a top 5 ranked team? None of them now, you know? So it's just, you know, just shocking. If anything, I think Florida State's number 11 now after whooping Alabama. So that's
which is crazy. Now I was giving them some shine for, you know, beating Alabama, but come on, now this was still a team that was 2-10 last season. We already have them in top 15 after. Okay, they had one
game
against Alabama. Vanderbilt beat Alabama last year. We didn't see them do. They didn't jump to like top 15. So come on now. Let's see how they do this week, and then next week, and then the week after that, and then you start building it up. But they got that just because of name. Because as soon as Florida State won, it's like, oh, Florida State, they're back. Got to put them in top 10 already, especially if Miami is good, because they want to keep their rivalry going for when they play later this season.
Yeah. No, yeah. Exactly. Now, I won't lie. I am a little bit biased. I took all the overs on Arch Manning for this game. So
smart man, because he's gonna get it. Why else do you think they schedule San Jose State?
This Sarkisian is gonna use this game to build up his ego. He's gonna go for he's gonna have a Justin Herbert night. I will talk about that later, but he's gonna go for 303 touchdowns. You know, this game against San Jose State is to build up the morale back up for him, right? This is let them loose, let them do whatever they want. Your defense is probably gonna get a couple of touchdowns on their own, also, so you know, you don't really have to play safe. But that Texas needs this game. And we don't play another ranked opponent until Florida. That's like a few weeks down the line. So we have time to build up the morale. We have time to build up Arch. Because week one, the man was just obviously nervous. But yeah, so I'm pretty confident. I hope they beat him by 44. Right. But anyway. Houston has an in-state rivalry. Or in-city rivalry, shall I say.
Wow, you're actually going today to talk about the Cougars on yourself?
Yeah. Hey, they're 1-0. They're better than Texas right now. You know?
Now, see, if I said that, you would have talked shit.
Of course, because you mean it. Either. I'm being nice. I'm being considerate. You would actually think that Houston's better than than Texas.
I mean, that's what I don't know. I'm looking at the record, and the record tells
me otherwise. See, there it is. There it is. There it is. You know, I won't talk. I won't talk because facts are facts, right? I won't go into the detailed.
They'll be 2-0. Y'all be 1-1. Who's better? Who would get into the playoffs if we were in a division and it was down to record? Who gets in and who stays home? That's all I got to say.
Well, I mean, a record only says so much, right? Because we've seen a team almost have 3 losses, like Alabama, and make playoffs. I think they had just missed playoffs last year.
So now record doesn't matter.
I guess not, because, I mean, you know, like, for example, no, SMU was the only undefeated team, right? Or they lost one?
No, they lost twice and got boat raced by Penn State. I think we knew Oregon that was going to happen.
I think Oregon was the only undefeated team going in.
Penn State?
No.
No, Oregon. Penn State. Of course Penn State lost. They got to lose at least 1 or 2 games and still be in top 5.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Penn State looks scary. They're
I'm hearing. Backs. I haven't seen, but I'll pay attention. And then they have like
they have like the 2 best running backs in the country right now, and they're just
so they just back to back clone Saquon a couple times.
They took some blood from each thigh because he's got quads, right? He's got crazy quads, and they injected them into these boys. And man, talk about a 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I have to watch them. I'll check them out. In the coming weeks. Well, who I want to check out is apparently the stock is high on this QB from South Carolina to win the Heisman, Lenore Sellers. Have you seen him?
I have not. This is the first I'm hearing, honestly.
Yeah, this is my first time seeing it. I was just looking at it on the, I didn't even see who the, is Arch still number one?
Nah, he's had to drop. Let me see. I'll look it up. So why is this Gamecock QB
I have no idea.
The favorite.
And I mean there's no way you can watch every single game in college football and know every single one unless you get paid for it, of course.
Well, but I'll tell you right now, he's second in Heisman odds right now. Garrett Nussmeier, that is UQB, is that's first.
Yeah, he's good.
Arch dropped to 9th.
Damn.
Yeah,
he got
hit worse than Texas in the rankings, which is fair.
I mean, people is fucking Ohio State against the NFL style defense. Like,
that's what I'm saying, Matt Patricia.
Come on, man, give the kid a break, and that's me saying that.
Yeah, exactly. This is
UT he's gonna start. You know, but I mean, they're saying one of the things that's probably exposing with Arch is look at the competition he played against when he was in high school. I mean, it looked like he was kind of jogging away. Yeah, it was soft. But that's what happens when you play in these super rich prep schools. Like, competition is going to drop.
That's what happened.
Yeah, I sent you.
What'd you send me?
Yesterday. Did you see that post I sent you on Instagram about all the alumni that came out of my high school?
Mm-mm. I did not. Yeah, I haven't been on Instagram.
It's probably good. That's the kind of competition that these prep schools need to go up against. You know, when in the city where they have all them ballers, that's where you can really test your skills. Because, it's like the competition is the same. Like that. And then
I didn't know you guys had Brian Orakpo.
Bro, I said that. I know I've said that so many times. Yeah, there's a Lamar there. So that's why I trash UT, but I'm not going to fully trash him. Because there's a connection that we have.
There is.
And so, yep. Rakapo, he's probably the best alumni. Don't forget, we had a Super Bowl winner come out of there.
Brandon LaFell, Patriot receiver.
There was more MLB players that came through that school than I thought. Because I know of Anthony Rendon and Joe Savory.
Anthony Rendon came from there?
Yes.
It's a great first half career. I went to the Sun Angels.
Look, we're not gonna talk about after 2019.
The Nationals. Let's
talk, we're talking Washington National, Anthony Rendon, that stud third baseman that broke our hearts in the World Series. Mm-hmm. So yeah, wow. That's the kind of competition Art should have went up against when he was in high school. And I know New Orleans got it.
Oh, for sure.
Shit. You know? Stay out them gated communities. I'm going to come back to that, to this New Orleans topic later on towards the end. But
speaking, I just want to speak on alums real quick. My high school sucks. My football team sucks right now, dude. We're not even the best. We used to be the best in like the region, in the area. Now we're not even best in our own city, Kyle. Kyle, there's only two high schools in the city, and we're not the best one. And it's like, same head coach, too, that's from when I played so many years ago.
Oh, that's tenure. Wow. That's tenure. Yep. Wow, he's still there.
And he's just, he's grown, he's progressed great, right, as a person, but just now he's not tough anymore, and you need to have a tough
coach. It's for the kids. It's to make sure the kids graduate. There's more things important than winning.
Listen, that's not what I was told. And this was the same guy. But anyway, yeah, that's my little rant on my alma mater in high school. We suck.
Yeah. So
we suck.
It's okay. We from the cities knew that. That's why, you know, that's why we usually do run a clock in the second half when it's already 62-0.
Mm-hmm. Listen, anything past San Antonio is an automatic loss for us. But now we're not even good in our own region, and that's where it's just hurting me.
Hey, my school, they kind of soft too now, because I'm seeing a lot more. For the first time ever in my life, I think I saw a 4 in a loss column, like a 4 or a 5 in a loss column last season.
Wow.
And I texted my friend Brandon. We occasionally talk about it, and we're like, hey, this ain't the same Lamar from when we were there.
this ain't the Brian Arakpo Lamar. Are you guys, what's your mascot?
We was the Redskins. Oh. And wokeness took over.
Now and now you Texans. Guys are the Blueskins? Oh, sorry.
Oh, they should have did that. That would have been funny. Yeah. But now they're the Texans. It was like after they made it, their appearance in the state title. That's, man, you know what I thought of too, which is not good. And I shouldn't be thinking low like this. We had, especially in football, we had all that talent in football and only one appearance in the state title. What does that remind you of?
Well, I mean, you got Dan Marino. Just kidding.
So I was thinking more locally, you know, a team that
locally.
You know, that has talent and makes it a lot and don't have a title to show for it, but
I know a guy in the area that has 4 titles to show for it.
Who?
What?
Oh.
Kyler Murray.
Jesus Christ, man. He, again, number one came off us. Yeah. I was thinking of Cougars, though. A lot of titles, a lot of talent. A lot of appearances. There you
go, same city. Yeah. Cougar basketball, baby.
Flock together. All right, let's go to stuff that more people care about more instead of locally high school and back in our part of the country.
No 80% of our audience already clicked off.
Checked out. Did you watch the game last night?
I did, from start to finish. I watched it all.
Isaiah, you are the reason why the NFL is going to stream and everything and why there will be a pay-per-view Super Bowl. I did not watch a single minute of that game last night. I'm not about to go. Number one, Fridays does not belong to the NFL. Fridays belong to life and college football.
Yes.
That's in high school football.
High school football, yeah.
Really high school football, but that and life this time of the year. NFL. Yep. Y'all got Sundays, Saturdays if it's Christmas. You can have a game or two on Saturdays. That's fine. But y'all got, especially at the start of the season, y'all got Sunday. I'm not about to be shifting through different apps, different networks, trying to figure out where y'all have this game at, just so y'all can say, well, we had this many people tuning in, so we know we can go this route to have everyone pay for these games. No, I'm not doing that shit. I don't care. I don't even care if it's the Texans or the Eagles playing. I'm not. Why? If it's not Sunday on the 3 main networks or Monday on that 1 main network, I'm not going through the trouble of figuring out where your fucking games are. I'm sick and tired of it, and I'm not giving you the viewership.
Take your stand, Kyle. Listen, I agree with everything that you're saying, but I'm addicted. So I was.
Yeah, I know. I know you are.
I have every streaming service.
I can wean myself off of some things.
Yeah.
And the NFL is going to be one of them. I'm not about to have them control every day of the week for me.
Yeah, the thing is that they're really close to a monopoly regarding streaming services. You know? But speaking of the game, the Chargers.
The right? game itself, yeah.
Say the game itself, Chargers actually won. Both quarterbacks played good. One just played a little bit better. Or you could say one defense played worse, right? It could be either or. But Justin Herbert looked like rookie year Justin Herbert. Now, it might be the Harbaugh effect, right? I don't know if there's ever been a coach to win a college championship and appear in the Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure there has been, probably. But Harbaugh is on that list, if there is one, if he's not the only one. And so now they have that type of coach and that type of scheme, and it really showed against a pretty good defense. At least they were ranked last year, a very good defense, right? So to throw 300 yards, to throw three touchdowns without throwing a pick, that's in the NFL, that's really good. That's elite.
And he has protection, because I was looking at it. There's this one page that I follow where it's this coach, he's just always breaking down these plays. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've sent a few of those videos to you. There's this one highlight where Joe Alt just had, is that his name? Did I say his name?
Yeah, right? Joe Alt. Yeah.
Yeah.
His whole name is six letters.
He had pause that put Chris Jones to a complete stop. I mean, the man just stopped and he stood him up. And it's like, you know, he got underneath them shoulder pads. And once that as a D lineman, once that happens, once the left tackle gets underneath your shoulder pads, it's over. It's over. They can literally just pick you up if they wanted to at that point.
You are now their puppet. And they are the puppet master. They'll tell your arms to go one way, they'll move your shoulders this way. And you just pray that they don't put you on your back.
Oh, man, you know that's what they want to do. And they want to pick you up and put you on your back. That was always, especially at my size and weight, that was always my fear, is some left tackle slipping his hands inside of my jersey and my shoulder pad. You can't do anything at that point. You're done.
Yeah. My fear is always the pulling guard. But there's a reason why he was like the fourth pick overall when he got taken. A few years ago, the man is a left tackle made in a factory. He's like the ideal left tackle. And he played right tackle, but it's not his first time playing left tackle. But the Chargers have an offense now. And old age Keenan Allen almost looked like prime Keenan Allen, right? At least getting open wise. He had a touchdown, he had like 80 yards, you know, almost 10 catches. Like he was looking real good. They got a big bruiser back on Mario Hampton. Patrick Mahomes doesn't really have the help as regarding receivers anymore, especially when
Coming back.
Yeah, after six weeks, but especially it doesn't help when Travis Kelce takes out your next guy up right on a drag route, both running drags across the field. And I got a problem with Kelce right now. He talks the most crap while doing the least amount of work.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just saying, I've been noticing and saying that for a couple of years.
Like, so he besides the late touchdown he had for a 37-yard touchdown, he had one catch for 10 yards. And then they have to do this little trick play where they fake a wide receiver screen and he pretends like he's blocking and then he slips and then goes vertical and gets a wide open touchdown catch where no one's even around him, with a 10-yard gap, because we know he doesn't have that getaway speed. And then now people are talking about it. Yep, he's still got it. And it's like, no.
It was just one play. Just,
yeah. Now, I was watching a game. Mahomes did lead his team in rushing yards as well.
Thank you. I'm checking fantasy right now.
Yeah. And the first half looked terrible, but second half, he just picked it up. Now, his scrambling ability, I think right now in this current day, Lamar Jackson is number one. I would put Mahomes at number two. He doesn't look athletic. He doesn't look like he's shifty, but he just knows how to keep the play alive.
Well, and he'll get now a first down. He doesn't have the receivers like he did 4 or 5 years ago to sling the ball all over the place. place.
Yeah, exactly. They don't got the you know, same offensive coordinator either. So now they got to get more creative, and he's doing that. But then it's also good that he's taking more hits. And he's going to be 30 in a few weeks. And there's only a certain amount of time where he could keep taking those hits. He's usually really good at sliding or going out of bounds, but sometimes he'll try to test it, and it's just not.
Man, he can slide. He'll still get the flag even if you don't touch him. Ask the Texans.
Yeah. Now, one thing that does get me a little bit mad, he always goes out of bounds, right? But one time, there was a corner like going to tackle him, but the corner like laid off, and then he stopped and trucked the corner and then went out of bounds. I was like, oh, you little... Oh,
that's you know why what you did. I say...
You know what you did.
If you get a shot at the quarterback, inbounds or out of bounds, fucking hit him. Because they started... Mm-hmm. You remember Kenny Pickett did that shit in college?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
fake slide.
The fake slide, yeah.
Took out into the house. Oh, man, as a defense, nothing would have pissed me off even more. And that would just... And now you see why these dudes want to lay out these quarterbacks when they do shit like that. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Because
it's like, y'all have all that protection, and then you want to do shit like that? Okay, do that again. See what happens.
Exactly. And it's just, you know, as long as you don't, you know, hit them 3 seconds after the play, and as long as you don't spin on them, it's fine.
You only know that it was 3 seconds after the play when he slid, when you slow it down on super slow-mo, and then you throw the flag. We're throwing flags based off what you see in replay, not what you see... you confirming the flag off replay. I know it sounds stupid what I just said, but you know.
No, I get you.
Yeah, because it's like in real time, you see the quarterback slide and then the defense, they meet at the same time. Look, if the defender go down too, because if the dude is untouched, he can get back up and run.
Mm-hmm.
But as a defender, if I see a quarterback, I want to hit him. I don't want to just touch him. I want to fucking hit him because yeah, I want to take him out the game. So. I'm going to hit him. And then you're going to throw the flag saying roughing the passer just because it looked malicious. Stupid.
Exactly, yeah, it's awful. It's awful. That's why I don't like the NFL penalty policy or whatever it's called, because every call is opinion-based. The only thing that's not opinion-based is when a touchdown is scored, if it's a run, right? They're not in the end zone. Or if they step out of bounds, right? But every other penalty is opinion-based.
Like a strike zone.
Exactly. I don't like it, right? Because holding to you may look different than holding to me, right? PI to you may look different to me. And that's just, it just depends on the ref. Now, there is language about it, but still, it's up to them to call it.
Can we universally agree that that was a pass interference between Rams Saints?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. That was actually, that was a felony.
Yeah, that was a felony, actually.
That was a felony.
Yeah, exactly.
That was assault.
I'm still pissed at that.
I know. But let's talk about Spitgate.
That's what we're calling it
now. Yeah, I saw CBS call it Spitgate, and that's what I'm going to call it too now. So that 6 seconds in
he
after kickoff.
Nothing wrong.
Whoa, listen, if you spit on me, I don't care who you are or how big you are, I'm throwing hands, right? I gotta get
that's
props
why Dak
to Dak
is a bitch.
Dak held his cool, right? It looked like the water boy wanted to do something more than Dak did.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie, he that wasn't spit. He chucked the Louis, or however you say it.
Dude,
like, you
that
saw
thing
the train.
Had some substances. Yeah.
Yeah, that spit had a tail.
that spit had purpose. it had meaning.
That spit would cause you to have to go get a tetanus shot.
Oh, dude. Dak had to get tested for sure after that game. Ain't no way. That he had something. Yeah,
that spit had COVID.
Oh, dude, it had something. It was enough to get him ejected. Now, do I think it should be ejected? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess because it spit, right? Yeah, now, we did see, Dart, a defensive tackle for Chargers, open hand slap Kelsey after a play. Clear as day, right? Personal foul. They didn't eject
them. That's not ejectable.
The ref said because he did it with an open hand.
I mean, you're about to Kelce see does just need a, to get bitch slapped every now and then.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of players just need to get slapped for, you know, how much trash talk they do without physical, physical play following. But you're about to see a whole bunch of players just start open hand slapping people now. Because that was their reasoning, the open
hand. You know what that remind me of? Remember that play between Chicago and New Orleans where that receiver just straight up just clocked him in the face?
Yeah.
And he ran up to him. He just ran up, told him to tap his shoulder, told him to turn around, and yeah. Bam, right across the face.
At least he had respect to do it in front of him and not behind his back, you know? He had that little
man. He was like, hey, look at respect. Me.
Respect. But I won't lie, Thursday game and Friday's games were good. They were entertaining.
Thursday game, yeah.
But. Yeah, they were really good to watch. AJ Brown is non-existent again on the Eagles. I mean, do they need it? No. Jalen Hurts is doing it himself. These mobile quarterbacks are getting more and more hard to defend. What happened just to putting a spy, you know, on the QB? And we did see the Micah Parsons not affect in the game too, right? Because Hurts had two rushing touchdowns, non-tush-push touchdowns. So.
I know how much you love tush-push.
Oh, yeah. It's my favorite thing. Favorite thing. I just love seeing grown men just get as close as they can together and just try to shove a guy through other guys.
Hey, work. Want him a Super Bowl?
Tony, yeah, that's true. Tony Dungy even agreed. He's like, is he even a football play? That's
rugby.
Very general.
It's clearly rugby.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Everyone just gets works. Their hips. Shit. Put your head between the men's outside cheeks and just push.
Yeah, it's like I called it when I texted you during the game. I said it's touch push time.
Oh, dude. But no, very good game. CD had some big drops at the end that could have changed the game. But also, what changed the game right off the back was Jalen Carter, obviously. Getting ejected, you know, he's a big playmaker himself. So having your star DT out like that, that's gonna change.
Make sure he Ubered home. Hopefully he didn't drive himself. He would have been pissed. And you know, it's a Georgia player.
There you go. There now I get the reference. I think he was involved in something like that already too.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Oh, shit. That was funny. But last point we have for the NFL as we keep this ball moving. Does Ryan Clark have a point?
About his take about the greatest quarterbacks in our era? Or which take? Because he's...
What he said to Peter Schrager?
About what?
Basically I think I just saw... Yeah, I just saw it too, and I've always thought it, but he had to apologize for it because, you know, ESPN basically said, you know, you're not a player, so you don't know. It was along the lines like that.
Oh, yeah,
Schrader thought he was being belittled.
Schrader took too much offense to it.
He did.
Right?
He took way too much because...
Schrader is one of the smartest analysts, or whatever you want to call him, that I've ever seen. Like, his knowledge of... Or his history knowledge of the game is crazy.
It's okay to not play the game and know the game. Because
exactly.
Because you can play the game and not know it, if you get what I mean.
Exactly. Some of the greatest coaches ever didn't play at that level. You know? Like, show me Andy Reid's NFL highlight tape. Show me his college highlight tape.
Well, there's something from college, but I don't know about NFL.
You know, show me Sean McVay. Show me what's the coach for the Broncos?
Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni also, but what's the coach for Sean Payton? Show me Sean Payton's. You know, show me Bill Belichick. Show me Tom Landry. Show me Don Shula. You know, these are non-NFL players, and they know the game better than anybody else. Right now, not saying. You know, players don't know the game, right? Obviously, we have player coaches now, right? You know, D'Amico Ryans, you know, what he's done with the first Texans. One off the bat. It's been awesome, you know. Now, it didn't work
Zach with Zach Taylor is another one. Show me highlights of Zach Taylor in the NFL. Already led the Bengals to the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Kevin O'Connell, another one. So, it's like there's guys that can see the game, and their best asset to the game is to show you what they see so you can perform at your best. So, and at that point is where I would say to Ryan Clark, ease up on that kind of stuff. Because remember, you had coaches that probably never played, and you relied on them coaches. So, this whole battle that we have in the media between the former players that's breaking into the media, because, I mean, you know what? With that thought, it's good to actually see these former athletes using those communications degrees that they got just to escape out of class because they wasn't going to do anything hard like Andrew Luck and majoring in architecture or anything. When you watch college football, you know, and they put up these player profiles, you rarely ever see biochemistry as one of the majors. It's always communications or kinesiology. It's always some easy shit. I mean, fuck it. I've always talked shit about it. Like, you know, there's some majors so simple that you're like, what the fuck? we're wasting college money, funds on that shit. And it's just for placeholders. And then half of them don't even go to class with that shit. But it's good to see these athletes using those communication degrees. Do something with it.
Yeah, and then you got Matt Patricia, who's a defensive mastermind. He graduated for aerospace engineering. It's like, you know, there's levels to this knowledge of the game. And like the thing about Ryan Clark saying that, what did Ryan Clark do in his 13-year career besides play 13 years?
I mean, he was a hitter.
He did. He played cornerback for the played safety, but it's like one Pro Bowl, and then you were on a Super Bowl team. And it's like, if you're going to say that, you either have to be good at knowing the game or good at playing the game. You know, now he's...
Yeah, 13-year career is knowing the game long enough to be playing long, especially for the Steelers, when the Steelers...
I mean, listen, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm going to be that guy. Every long snapper has a 10-plus-year career, right? Like, you know, now, his position is way more, I would say, important, right? But it's like...
Than a corner. Who's, you know, that is true. His position is more important.
It is. But, like, even Josh McCown, right? Chase Daniel, these 10-plus-year backup quarterbacks, right? Like, it's just experience is good, but not when you don't get the playing time. Now, he did, right? I'm not going to say it, that he didn't. He has a lot of starts, but yeah, I just think he doesn't understand it from other people's point of view, and then Peter Schrager took too much offense to it. Like, he felt like, you know, it's like Peter Schrager has like three all pros or something.
And, you know, that's a good way to break it down like that on both sides, because, you know, at the end of the day, experience. When you compare, I'm not going to say it's apples to oranges with a guy with guys like Chase Daniel and comparing against guys that played long like a Ryan Clark, because obviously who saw the field more, who, you know, the body of work that was done.
Compare Chase Daniel to Andrew Luck. You know, who was better?
Then he had a longer career then, because Andrew Luck said deuces.
Exactly. And Andrew Luck is still more prestigious playing a short amount of time than Chase Daniel.
Well, Andrew Luck saw the game that we saw and how he played. And he was cerebral.
Yes. Exactly. So,
he's not even coaching? I feel like he's a good coach.
He's doing something with Stanford.
He's a GM at Stanford.
There you go. Yeah, he's doing something. Yeah. He was like full-time stay-at-home dad after the NFL.
Dude, the NFL, he was so pissed off with the NFL, he said, I'm going to just go live a regular life.
Yeah. But that's all.
Man, what could have been?
That's all I speak. I know. What could have been him? If even Calvin Johnson played more than 10 years, too.
I don't. All right. That's a whole nother topic. Moving on to baseball. Yep. Farmer or hoe, right? Or wrong?
Yeah, man. And the thing that I have a problem with, imagine the position Cesar Salazar is in. You're the third catcher in the depth chart. You just got called up from the minors. What power do you have anything to say about that, right?
You're now, still the catcher. You've been
for sure.
You're the catcher and you're the brain of the team, and you are the glue to the pitching staff. He's been on the team, whether he's been up or down. The fact that, number one, you're in the major leagues. Number two, you have the respect of all the pitchers from the major league staff through the minors, because you're working with them from February all the way through November. Should we make it that far? You're the third catcher that they carry when we go into the postseason, because to their philosophy, in the past couple of years, you've seen their roster, they have often carried three catchers at times. So, you know, Farmer was being a hoe. There is no way around it. You know, you were mad. You wanted to go rogue on the game plan. You got mad. You gave up the grand slam. I turned the TV off before Grisham even finished rounding the bases, so I didn't actually see the cross up when it happened
just missed it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was so pissed that you gave up that slam, I turned the fucking TV off. So, you know, when I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, there's a difference between a cross up and fuck you. You know, that was a fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, what I think personally happened, obviously, Cesar, right before the grand slam pitch, he told him to back off, right? Mm-hmm. Young guy telling, you know, a top tier pitcher, Cy Young contender.
That's my ego needs to be checked. I'm sorry. Yeah. We're in the game right now, and I'm catching you. And I'm the one that studied the game plan and relayed this information over to you. Fuck all that shit.
More than other catchers, because he wants to stay in the bigs, right?
Thank you.
Putting in more work. Now, I think Fromber took offense. Why is this third catcher, young guy, telling me who I am to back off, right? And then, boom, grand slam. So now he's pissed off, and he crosses him up.
Well, you know what? Maybe you should listen to the third catcher with that, what, 5, 6, 7.5 ERA you're carrying since the All-Star break. Maybe you should listen to him, because you've been ass ever since Fromber.
Fromber. As soon as you thought you were the number one when JV left, but Hunter Brown came out of nowhere, and now you're not again.
And Hunter is struggling as much as Fromber is, but at least he's being more humble about it. And if Hunter has a problem, he's barking at the other team.
He is, yeah. Hunter
remember
will pick
against
twice.
The Angels when he hit, I think it was Zach Neto when he hit him, and then he basically told him to fuck you, walk the first, and then and the bench is cleared.
Yeah.
That's a guy I can get behind. I don't care if he's struggling.
100%. 100%. You know? That's why, Now, I read articles that Fromber and Cesar went into the GM's office to go talk about it. I heard players confronted Fromber in the locker room.
I bet
Correa
was
like
the first one.
Oh, for sure. Correa is such a great leader, man, especially for Houston. Oh, dude. He doesn't care who you are, how long you've been playing. As long as you put in the work and you know, doing your job, he respects you. But he'll say, shut the fuck up on live TV. Right? we have seen it live. You know, having him and Altuve back, because Altuve kind of took that role these past couple of seasons, but Correa's just, he's built for that leadership role. And it's cool having him again. But yeah, Fromber, check your ego.
Moving on to the next thing I had. Did you see what happened at the Marlins game with some Phillies fans?
I did.
Tell me what you thought about that.
I thought she was a Karen, and she needs to stop crying, all right? Either be faster. Or
Thank you.
Humble.
That ball.
And then I also, one thing, what the hell kind of dad will give up the ball to her? Right? I would fight her before doing that, taking the ball with my son to give it to her.
He took the ball out his son's glove and gave it to her.
Just to avoid the conversation.
That was good what the Phillies did on the back end of it, because in the back of the mind, he probably thought that. And he said, let me make this trade-off, because if the cameras caught it, because it was on a home run, so the cameras definitely caught it.
At least 7 of them.
They're going to see that, and we're going to get something later on. And then But God, here's the rule, people, at a baseball game. That ball does not have no one's name on it. Mm-hmm. You are going to have to scratch and claw your way until you get a firm grip of it and you can snatch it up in victory. That is yours. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's yours. What happens after that is on you. Woman.
Yeah.
Especially when there's a sparse crowd, so there's room to run up the rows to catch a ball if it comes in your area. If that thing rolls to me, I'm grabbing it. I don't give a fuck. And then he gave it to his kid. It is like, you are so... God, man, that's so annoying with these damn Karens. How often have we been seeing it since social media has been around? These Karens going after kids, calling the cops on them because they're selling lemonade, calling the cops on them because they're in the pool, calling the cops on them because they're riding their bikes down the street, calling the cops on them just because, fuck it, you're black, and I'm scared. Like, exactly. They're everywhere, and they strike all the time, and I'm just so glad that this woman is getting ridiculed all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you saw that haircut, you already know.
Automatically. They're always miserable in their lives, too.
They had to start some type of drama, some type of tension, for no reason. For no reason.
It's always, I'm gonna call a spade a spade. A Karen is always a middle-aged white woman with them bowl haircuts or them short bangs or whatever the fuck.
Pixie cut. Yep.
Yeah, they got that shit. They're never in shape.
Nope. But if they are, they're worse.
They're worse. they're and shriveled up all in the face because they age like prunes.
Mm-hmm. Always got big old glasses too that have the point on top right. You know what I'm talking about?
So you mad because you look like a fucking prune and give me something else. Can't think of anything else off the top of my head. You getting mad because you look like that every day in the mirror? That, you know what I mean? You could put, and some of them be putting makeup on. You could put makeup on a pig. It's still a pig. So you're gonna take out your frustrations on the rest of the world? Like, fuck you. You're gonna take that ball from a fucking kid's glove? Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agreed on that. And as a dad, keep the ball. Don't give it.
Stand your ground.
Like, yeah, you kind of got saved by the Phillies. You just
taught your kid that you can cave to people complaining.
Mm-hmm. You taught your kid not to stand up for yourself or your family, and that's the worst thing you could do for a kid growing up, you know, as a man. But yeah, Kyle, let's get into something you're a little passionate about that's happened just recently, and why I figured I couldn't watch the Astros a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it's just another reason why I always keep saying I fucking hate billionaires and corporations. I mean, I don't know how much more greedy you can get and just ignore what's already working for you. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, we wouldn't have to be using Streamies if y'all wasn't charging an arm and a leg of what I was saying earlier about the Chiefs and the Chargers, where I'm not about to be searching around for these damn games that y'all have on because y'all want to have all these damn paywalls. Didn't I say last week that it's our fault with the streaming, millennials, because millennials and Gen Zers, because we watch everything online anyway, and since they saw that, they said, fuck it, you're the new majorities that's coming up, so we're going to charge you, we're going to make more money off of y'all than we do the older generations, because y'all need this more, and y'all want the sports more. So we're going to we're going to make you pay for every single thing, everything that used to be free. Remember when you used to just turn on the TV, turn it on Fox, CBS, or NBC and ABC, you get the games? Now you gotta sit up and search every freaking where, pay however much money to watch something for 3 hours when we had an alternative that was made to watch the shit for free online, especially if you live in a town of your favorite team and you have to deal with now blackouts. What the fuck? It's kind of like I'm bleeding this into the documentary that I was watching last night. I don't know if you saw it yet, the Katrina documentary?
I have not yet. I saw it on Netflix, but no, I haven't seen
it. See, I didn't even really need to watch it because I didn't like actually live through it because I wasn't from New Orleans, obviously. But in Houston, you saw the effects close up ahead. Oh, for sure. And then we... Yeah. Do you remember Hurricane Rita?
Yeah.
And how Houston panicked and we all had to leave. So mm-hmm. all those memories was coming back from that year. And what was happening in New Orleans, you know, when... Obviously, they knew that the Ninth Ward was going to flood out, and who lives in the Ninth Ward, so obviously they don't give a fuck. When they didn't have anything because everything got washed away, and they're trying to just eat and grab some water, we called it looting. What do you think people are going to do when the system fails and there's no other options? They're going to fucking survive. What do you think we're going to do if we have to keep paying for all these damn paywalls? We're going to look for these fucking online streams. Mm-hmm. And every last one of them. And it's so convenient that it shuts down before the NFL.
Kickoff. They really wanted to hammer this down before week one.
It's like, what do you think people are going to do when you're left with no options?
Exactly.
We're left with no options and no resources. They have everything. And look at us like the criminals. And the NFL is looking at us like we're stealing. These guys, I mean, shit, stealing? What are we stealing? Steal from you? You already have everything. You have the billions. You have the tax breaks. You have the free palace stadiums that on public funds that y'all still charge us to get into. Still charge for every event. You charge the park. So you... what more do you want?
I think also these past few generations have made it obvious that they're more comfortable watching at home than actually experiencing the game.
And the NFL sees that they don't even need to focus on selling tickets anymore. That's why they say fuck you. Since we're making more money on you watching at staying at home than you coming to the games, we're gonna make you pay for everything that you watch.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just the world we live in, man. There's all we can do is just rant about it like we're doing right now. There's nothing else. Because as long as the billionaires are in charge, what can you do?
It's frustrating. We'll end it on that sad note. Just kidding. It's week one NFL. Finally, fantasy now has a reason. We have reason to be excited about multiple things now regarding the weekend, regarding Monday night. I don't get any predictions. I just want to enjoy and relax tomorrow. I'm going to go to church in the morning. I'm going to barbecue. And I'm going to watch 7 hours of non-commercial.
Included football.
Non-commercial free football.
Oh, man.
Now, I get it. Yeah. There are all those downtimes between the transition between morning games and afternoon games, but still. Right, just show highlights. But anyway, yeah.
I'm getting pissed off already when I see the clips on Instagram, like when Jaden Daniels threw that Hail Mary and before it was caught, Whopper.
Oh, it pissed me off so much. I already know what happened to and it really pissed me off. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you in episode 42. Enjoy week one of the NFL. Bang.